Well, this is the summer season, and as we were talking about for a point this morning, there is a camp coming up for the summer that I have information on the back table. It's the summer camps for youth. So if you're not a youth, don't apply, but you can still go because you can be a cabin leader, you can be other needs are up there, you can cook. They need cooks in the kitchen and servers. And do they have a camp nurse now? Or do they need medical staff for that too? Yes. Right. Okay. So those are also available for you to donate to the Lord. The camps will be in the month of July. The cost is $240 a piece. Discount if you register early. You want to go and you can't afford it, we'll send you. Wonder always does. Okay. Interesting is a term or a phrase that was used in the old days of gold mining and maybe coal mining too, I don't know, but it was fire in the hole. And Ed brought a scripture to mind on Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 20, the prophet is proclaiming the word of the Lord to the kings and the Israelite and everybody there about judgment coming. And he's getting such a good reception that he's thrown in the stocks. He's dumped in a pit. They don't like hearing that. And so at one point he says, I will not make it mention of him again. He says, nor will I speak even his name. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. But then he says, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. Wow. He could not stop speaking the word of the Lord. I bring all that up because we're in the final chapter of Peter, the epistles of Peter. And think about, why did Peter write these epistles? Well, he had a very deep interest in the spiritual welfare of the Christians that were in Asia Minor. He had affection for them. He calls them brethren or beloved. Four times in this chapter he uses that word. The other thing is that we don't know if he ever saw them face to face. There's no mention in Scripture if he ever went and talked to them in person. And so he writes to them. They didn't have text messaging then. They didn't have internet. They had to write letters on parchment. Expensive parchment. So he writes to them. In the first epistle, he comforts them in the face of persecution. And in this second epistle, he warns them against false teachers. They were dedicated Christians. They followed the Lord Jesus. But Nevertheless, even with that, it was good for Peter to stir them up a bit, trying to, well, let's say we all need to be aroused from time to time, don't we? We tend to live in a rut from day to day. We just go on. Every day is the same. We get up. Maybe we do our daily prayers. We go through our daily life. We come home, we eat, we sleep. There's a danger of becoming lukewarm. And we act out of habit rather than from a conscious desire to please God. Look at the church of the Laodiceans. Revelation. What does Jesus say about that church? He says, because you're lukewarm, he says, you're not hot, you're not cold. So I'm going to just vomit you out of my mouth. I don't want him to do that to me. So we need a little exhortation once in a while to rekindle, to stoke up those smoldering coals into a blazing fire for the Lord. We have to remember, what were the words of the prophets and the words of the apostles? Remember, remember, remember. What does Peter want us to remember today? He wants us to remember the promise of the coming of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter, open up to, and we will read a couple verses like always. Maybe four. Beloved, he starts right out with beloved, because he loves these people. I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder. I missed something. Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, he says, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? But since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Stop there now. You know, it's so easy, even for Christians, to just get accustomed to God's truth. It's like a nonchalant knowing. You remember Eutychus? Eutychus was listening to Paul preach, and what happened? He fell asleep. I don't think Paul's preaching would be boring. He fell asleep on the third window and fell down to his death. Now, the Lord raised him again, but still. Our Heavenly Father sacrificed so much so that we would have the truth of his word and the freedom to practice it. But just too often, we take this for granted and get complacent. That's why the church, the body of Christ, needs to be poked, aroused a little bit now and then. Or the enemy is going to find us sleeping, and he's going to take advantage of that. And because every word in this scroll is the truth. There's no lies in it. So we have to pay attention to it. We have to take the messages God's given us and take it seriously. Those kings in Jeremiah's day did not take his message seriously. His message was judgments coming. And they scoffed at it. New believers that come to Christ have to be taught the word. They have to be established in the faith. They have to be built up. Us older Christians, and I don't mean older with age, older with you've been a Christian a long time, you got to be reminded of the importance of God's word, especially those that relate to the return of Jesus Christ. These prophetic teachings should entice us to live godly lives and to witness to those that don't know Christ. All the way back to Enoch, God warned judgment was coming. And many of the Hebrew prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah that I mentioned, Daniel, and others, they all announced the day of the Lord is coming, and there's going to be judgment. Even Jesus, he taught about this day of judgment in Matthew 24 in his Sermon on the Mount. Paul talks about it. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, John the Apostle, on the island of Patmos, he describes this terrible day of the Lord in Revelation chapter 6 through 19. And what is this day of the Lord? It's going to be a time when God's wrath will be poured out on all nations, and Satan's going to be free to vent his anger on whoever's on the earth. And it will end only with the return of Jesus Christ. He will come in glory and he will come in victory. Good time here now just to make a distinction between the various days that are mentioned in the Bible. We have the day of the Lord, as Jeremiah just said, and Paul, and all those, that's a day of judgment on the whole earth. We have the day of God. That's another day. That's mentioned in Peter 3:12, which I haven't got to yet. But that's a period when God's people, us, enjoy the new heaven and the new earth. We have the day of Christ. That's mentioned in 1 Corinthians. It's mentioned in Philippians. And that relates to the coming of Jesus to collect his church. And I'm not sure what everybody out there believes on that issue. Not without sitting down one-on-one on you and talking. But prophetic students that study fall into three categories on that. Those who believe the church is going to be raptured before the day of the Lord. And then we have those who believe the rapture of the church will take place in the middle of the day of the Lord, so that the church will experience 3.5 years of wrath. And the third philosophy is that the church will go to heaven after they go through all 7 years, at the end of the tribulation period. And there's good and there's godly people in all groups. And we can't let a difference of interpretation create problems in fellowshipping with those people or in sharing our Christian love with them. It's not a basis of salvation on which one you believe in. Now, based on the scriptures that I read, I personally believe the body of Christ will be raptured before the tribulation period. Now, the Word of God that predicts this not only predicts the coming of the day of the Lord, it also predicts the appearance of scoffers or mockers who deny that very scripture. Well, it's interesting because the very presence of the scoffer is proof that God's Word is true, because it's predicting they're going to show up and be here. And they're here, right now. What is a scoffer? It's a person who treats lightly that which he should take seriously. Noah's day, they scoffed at the idea of a judgment coming. Sodom and Gomorrah, they scoffed at the possibility of brimstone destroying their city. Scoffers scoff because they don't want to change their lifestyle. Peter goes on, he says, "For this they willfully forget." Verse 5, "that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." They forget. God created the heavens and the earth by his spoken word. In fact, the phrase, "and God said," occurs 9 times in Genesis chapter 1. "And God said, and it was so." Now, God not only created all things, he holds all things together. The world would not exist if he didn't have his hand on it. It would fly off into space. The same God that created this and set up the consistency of it, he can also intervene by his word and do whatever he wants to do. God's creation is consistent throughout the ages. We see it. We see the weather. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. The seasons, spring, summer, fall, winter, they seem to always happen every year, ever since the creation. But even with that, God has the power to break in at any time and accomplish his will. He can send rain. He can send no rain. He can send fire. He can cause tornadoes or droughts or hurricanes. Psalm 115 says, "Our God is in the heavens. He can do whatever he pleases." So now that Peter has established who's in control here, and that he created the world and he's holding it all together, he has it stored with fire. Being preserved and reserved for a future day of judgment. Now, God did promise he would never destroy this earth again by the flood. The next judgment is going to be by fire. Let's talk about modern atomic science. It has revealed there is enough atomic energy in one glass of water to power an ocean liner. Man has discovered this great power. And as a result, our world seems to be teetering on the brink of an atomic destruction. You look at Middle East, with Syria and Iran. And Iran wants that nuclear weapon so it can destroy Israel. And we think it's going to happen, but Peter is kind of indicating to us, man will not destroy the world. It's going to be God who's going to push the button. And at the right time, it's going to burn up this whole creation. And all the works of sinful man will burn up with it. And then he will usher in the new heavens and the new earth, and he will reign in glory. Quick look at Revelation 21. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bridegroom for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eye. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away. Peter wants us to know all this because it's coming. And there's no way that we can stop it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and we pray that we too would be like the prophet Jeremiah, that the fire in our bones would be just so demanding we cannot be quiet about it, that we have to share the good news of the gospel to everyone that you bring before us, that nobody would be lost in that final day of the Lord, that you would strengthen us, and you would give us the words to speak to the scoffers and the mockers that do not understand or do not want to understand. Lord Jesus, the difficult situations in the world today that you know are there, they are all part of your prophecy. And we look forward to the day that you would come and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. What? Yeah.